So a couple quick things before I get started, a couple quick caveats to announcements is that for the worship night is that, and I just did this, it wasn't in the bulletin, so Brittany probably like totally forgot, well she didn't forget because it wasn't an announcement, is that there is a sign up list in the back if you want to bring any snacks because we're doing the fellowship afterwards. If you want to bring any, if you're baking for the YFC, you can like bake some and then freeze them, and then we can bring them out later. But there is a sign-up list for to bake some goodies for the worship night. So you can sign up on that list. And for the Fields of Faith, it's for anybody, everybody. You don't have to be a teenager to go to it. Anybody, it's the Fields of Faith is open to everybody. Also, before I get started, I just want to say Hazel and Bennett, it was awesome to see them up here. But it's a lot of times you go to churches and it's like they go, I've been to churches where they're like, man, it's awesome to see the future of our church. And it's amazing is that this is our church. And Gregory and Joshua is our church. The students and the youth and the kids, they're not the future of our church. They're our church right now. And so a lot of times some people, they talk about, oh, they're our future. No, they're part of our church just as much as any of us. And that's awesome for them being up here and doing what they did. I think I'd be like Bennett, though. I think I'd be behind this if I was singing. I was joking around with Lance. He was like, I was like, should we make it where Bennett can sing? And Bennett was like, he was like, no, Bennett would be like a little, won't sing as much. And I was like, I think I'll be that away whenever I speak. I think I'll hide up behind one of these things, you know. I get nervous too sometimes, so. But good morning. It's great to be here. It's always fun to be up here and speak with you guys. While Pastor's away resting, recovering on hip surgery and seeking out fresh vision for the church. Just a quick disclaimer before I get started. I am not, one, I'm not pastor, as you can tell, but two is that I am not, in my sermon today, I am not going to, it might sound like a few times when I speak, but I am not up here to cast any vision, any direction of the church, anything like that. That's not my job today. It's not my role, even as an elder. It's not my role. So I don't want you guys to think that I'm doing that or anything like that. I'm excited to hear what Pastor's got for us when he comes back and what he's going to give us at the new year. I'm excited for that. As elders, we've been praying for that. And it's going to be an awesome 2023. So, with this, I feel like this message is kind of a stepping stone or kind of a helpful tool for us as a congregation. So with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, that you take care of us, that you love us, that you care about Friendship Assembly, that you care about every single person in this room, that we're not here by mistake, that we're not here, by happenstance. I just thank you, Lord, that you have guided and directed our paths, Lord, and that nothing is too big or too small in our lives, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, just give me the words to say. Let them be your words. Guide and direct my words over the next few minutes, and just let me learn from them as much as everybody else, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Also, real quick, is I'm like totally going off my scripture, but also it's good to see Pam and Paul back from hurricane. So I'm glad you guys made it back safely. So glad you guys made it through the storm. So as some of you guys know, is that I love going to movies. I love when I can. When there's actually a decent movie out, I love watching movies. I love one, the popcorn, the expensive popcorn. I like expensive popcorn, but also I like it how they make you feel. I like the adventure. I like it when they're like going after, you know, you feel like you're right there with them when they're going after the gold or the treasure, or you feel like you're right there when they're flying the spaceship, or you're a superhero trying to save the world, or you're right there storming the beaches of Normandy. One of my favorite movies I've watched, probably on the top 20 maybe, is The Avengers, the original one. I know there's like 50 of them, right? If you're a movie person, you know, like there's tons of different Avengers movies with different Avengers. The one where the Earth's mightiest heroes get together and they fight off the bad guys. There's one scene that stands out to me. It goes, oh wow, you can't really see that, can you? There's one scene that stands out to me where you have the Avengers get together. You have Captain America, which is my favorite. Iron Man, Black Widow, Hawkeye, Thor, they're all fighting the aliens, fighting Loki in New York, and they're just fighting hard, and they're just, just trying their best to win, and then they regroup, they finally group together to kind of come up with a plan, and then Hulk shows up, and then Captain America gives them orders, and he says, okay, you're going to go here, you're going to go here, you're going to go here, and then the famous line, you know, tells Hulk to smash, and he gives them orders and assignments based on their strengths and talents. He doesn't tell Hawkeye, which is the guy with the bow and arrow, for those who don't know, he doesn't tell Hawkeye to go smash. You know, he tells Hulk, which is the big green guy, to go smash. Then they go off and possibly, you know, with a chance of losing their lives. And spoiler alert, they don't, and they defeat Loki, which is the bad guy. So you're probably wondering, why in the world on a Sunday morning am I bringing up the Avengers? The portion of this is that... we need people in the church to come together, and I'll speak about this more. We as a church must work together as a team and use our gifts that God has given us. And we're going to look at this more. We're going to dive into this more and God's word. And this morning, if you open your Bibles or open your phone apps or however you look at your God's word, his active word, if you look at Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at several verses this morning. I'll give you a second to get there. We're going to take a look at the first verse. It's a tongue twister. So Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. I like how that's from the NIV. The NIV Bible. I like how the Message says it. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. So our first nugget today, our first thing I want you to grab and take with you out of Romans as friendship or for you personally, is that we must have an acceptable living and holy, give our lives as a sacrifice to him completely, 100%. 6 years ago, about 6 years ago, roughly, I had I had surgery for my thyroid, because I had thyroid cancer, and they totally took out my thyroid. And it would have been really, really difficult or hard, and been really horrible if I walked into the doctor or to the operating room or to the doctor's office or however you want to put it, is if I would have walked in there and the place was dirty, they were disorganized. You know, if I walked into the operating room, which I did walk into the operating room, is the weirdest thing. And if I walked into the operating room and their instruments were on the floor and they were picking them off the floor, you know, if the doctor, I don't know, the anesthesiologist, is that what you call it? The person was, you know, going to knock me out. If that person didn't even show up, you know, if all this stuff was disheveled and the things weren't right, you know, you get the idea. If that whole situation wasn't right, I totally wouldn't be satisfied. I wouldn't go through the surgery. I would find some other place to go through my surgery. I would get a second opinion, probably a third opinion, right? And that's not giving it 100%. That's not taking care of your patients. That's not going through it. So my question is that why do we do the same thing? Why do we do the same thing with our relationship with Jesus? It's way more important than a thyroid surgery. It's way more important than getting cancer out of your body. Why do we go halfway? It says to give your body as a living sacrifice, to give it all, 100%, not 50%. Not 75%, but a holy sacrifice. Doesn't mean that we should go out and, like, you know, burn ourselves at the stake per se, but we present our bodies as a sacrifice. God is calling for us to give ourselves wholly to God, to offer ourselves to God. We're not to offer some of our lives or some of our bodies, to commit 100%. Think about if you were on a sports team and you wanted to win the championship. You wouldn't give 50% or 75% to win the championship. You would give all. Sacrifice is the ultimate proof of true love. God provided his love for us through the sacrifice of Jesus. Think about that. If Jesus was on the cross and he didn't give 100% for us, we wouldn't have salvation. We wouldn't have his love. If he would only go through half of it, if he would only gone through half of what he went through, if he would walked up the hill with a cross and stopped halfway and be like, "Nah, I'm done. I'm good. It's all I'm going. You know. Or maybe only gotten one hand on the cross, nailed. It's like, "No, I'm good. That's all I'm going. That's how, as far as I'm going." So why do we only go halfway? Why do we not go wholly with God? Jesus told the disciples in John 15:13 that there's no greater love to lay down one's life for one's friends. We are called to give ourselves completely to God. That's the foundation of everything, to give ourselves completely and wholly to God. If we do that part, if we give ourselves completely to God, everything else that I'm going to talk about and that we do in our lives is going to flow. Is there times in our lives that we don't give ourselves fully to God? Yeah, it's called sin. But we desire, it's an everyday process of giving ourselves wholly to God. So after we give ourselves wholly to God, completely to God, being our sacrifice to God, What's next? What do we do next? What should we do next? Look at verse 2 in Romans. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I like how the message says this one. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognizing that he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. So second thing we need to realize is that after we find God's will for us, we find God's will for us by not seeking the world's will. So when we got the teen center remodeled, this is probably my only thing about the teen center YFC, believe it or not, is that we got to when we got the teen center remodeled, got the siding on, the red siding on, we got new doors in, and so I had to get new keys for the doors. They had new keys, but I think they only got two keys for the new locks or whatever, and so I had to get more keys made. So whenever I would go down the Baumgars, whenever I would take the original keys down there to get new keys done, I'd bring them back, I would try them out, worked perfectly, awesome. You know, and I could hand those out to different people, volunteers, or people renting, or my boss, whoever it was, it's no problem. But whenever I would take the copy down, I would just grab a key, I wouldn't get a key, take it down to Baumgars, there would always be a mess up, there would always be it wouldn't work right. I'd have to jiggle it right, or it would just, it'd be a mess. And then I'd lose, a buck or two or something like that, you know. And copies wouldn't work at all. See, that's how it is with our relationship with Christ. So many times is that he's perfect, just like the original key is. And that's what we should try to emulate. That's what we should try to strive for. That's what we should try to, if we were trying to find our will in our lives, that's what we should try to look after. Is that the world is per se the bad copy of the key. If we go after the bad copy of the key, then it's not going to work. It's not going to fit right. It's going to look pretty close, but it's not going to fit right. The world wants to change and corrupt the things of Christ. It always has and always will. But here's the thing is that I like this quote from D.L. Moody I saw when I was going through looking through and with this sermon and stuff, and I was looking through, and it says, Christians should live in the world, but not be filled with it. A ship lives in the water, but if the water gets into the ship, she goes to the bottom. So Christians may live in the world, but if the world gets into them, they sink. So if you want to find God's will in your life, you must consult the creator of life. We're going to end up living in the world. We're in the world as a church and as individuals. We're in it. It's all around us. At our schools, at our workplaces, It's all around us. We can't avoid it. But the question is that are we going to allow the world to sink us? Are we going to allow that world into us where it sinks us? Because we want to find God's pleasing will as a church and as an individual. Okay, we're going to look at the next set of verses, 3-8. It's a little bit longer set. Trust me, I'm not going to go through all of Romans 12. So don't panic. But this next set's a little bit longer, but it says, "For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, then these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we through many form one body, and each member goes to all of the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully." Final thing is that we all have different gifts and abilities in this church. But we are one church. I want you to look around for a second at everybody. We have different people of ages in here. Ethnicities, different skill sets, different experiences of possibly how they came to know Jesus or maybe not. We all come from different backgrounds. We're a melting pot. And we always will be. Just like with the body, as a head, an arm, a leg, they all do different functions. You're not going to see an ear pick up a football and throw it. You're not going to see my hand try to listen to a conversation. We all have different skill sets and different things that we're good at. An alien, soldier, secret agent, marksman, millionaire, a doctor, sounds like an interesting group to put together. But together, this group was unstoppable, at least in the comics and movies. This group was a group I mentioned earlier. They were the Avengers. This church might not have a secret agent in it. At least I don't think so. Anybody a secret agent? Anybody? Or a millionaire. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. But we have our own talents that God's given us. And we can use it for God's kingdom inside this church and inside these four walls. And what is awesome is that my talents that God has given me and that I'm still trying to figure out is no better than anybody else's. And that's what's so awesome. And then if we start feeling as a church, or as individuals, that my talent is better than your talent, or my gifts are better than your gifts, we're going to fail as a church. And we're not going to succeed in the mission of, what's it say, creating disciples, going out. And if we feel that, and if we start, as a church, start looking at others and saying that person can do something and I can't, and start getting upset, and it happens sometimes, get envious. And if that starts getting in the way, then that's going to affect us as a church as well. We need to realize that God created us all with certain unique abilities and talents. Not everybody on the team could be the quarterback. Or not everybody on the team can be the pitcher. Not everybody on the team can be the coach. Or not everybody on the team can, well, you put the word in. But also, too, what's amazing and what's awesome about it is that, what's awesome and amazing, too, about it is that some people have more than one talent that they can use. It's not their primary talent. It says in here that if you can serve, if you can teach, you can teach. But what's awesome is that there's some people that can serve and teach. There's some people that can prophesy and serve. There's some people. So I would hope that as a church and as individuals that we don't get stuck on one thing, that we don't get tunnel vision on what God has given us. Could you imagine as a church what we can do if we use the talents that God's given us? And maybe you're thinking to yourself, you're sitting in the pew and right now, and you're like, Tom, I have no idea what my gifts are. I have no idea. Then pray about it. I know a lot of times that's a generic answer. But also, too, there's different ways to find out what your gifts and abilities are. There's little tests, not my favorite thing. Tests have never been my favorite thing. But there's different little tests, different things that can find your abilities, what you're good at. You know, like if you like fixing stuff or if you like serving or whatever, you know. There's ways that we can help you as a church body or as elders or whatever, figure out what you like or whatever, what you like doing. Because no matter what you do in this congregation or no matter what you do outside this congregation, because I think Pastor has always said that serve here in this building and serve outside this building, no matter what you do, it's valuable. And I don't want you, and I want to say as an elder, no matter what you do in this church serving, we appreciate it and it's valued. No matter whether you hand out a bulletin or whether you're doing sound or whether you're scrubbing the toilets or whether you're up here filling the pulpit, everything's valuable. Because without you, this church couldn't keep going, whether pastor's here or not. The gospel can't be sent out. My final point is this. As a church, with our talents and being living sacrifices for God. And I heard this from somebody last week, and it kind of stuck with me. And I agree with it. And I think us as elders, we agree with it. But we need to, and this is kind of like off, not off book, but it's not in Romans, but just a little side bar thing. But it goes along with Romans. It goes along with being a living sacrifice. It goes along with using our talents. It goes along with being together as a body of believers, part of a body, about being having different talents and using them and coming together as a church. Because if we come together as a church, we're going to survive. Because if we don't come together as a church, as a body, you know, so if I don't have my arm, then if I don't have this, and if I don't have my heart, if I don't have whatever, my body's not going to survive. If we don't have a body of believers, we're not going to survive. But the thing I want to get across in my last point is that for being living sacrifices and we're truly totally seeking God and we're using our talents for God, is that right now Pastor is seeking God's vision for this church and what's next and what's going to happen in 2023 and more and what are we going to do and what's going to happen. And we as the body don't need to be just sitting by on the sidelines. We need to be seeking vision too. And we need to be right there praying with him and for him. And that way when he comes back, we're right in step with him as a church. And we need to be, so that way when he casts vision and says, this is where we're going to go, we're not 50 steps behind him, we're right in step with him. And so we're not behind him. Because we want this church to grow, we want this church to prosper, we want the church, like I said, disclaimer, I'm not casting vision, I'm just saying we want this church to be fruitful. So let's all, the next, I think he's got 4 weeks left, Let's all make it a point to pray for him and seek out vision and see what he's got coming up here in 4 or 5 weeks and let's really pray for him and really pray that he focuses and takes time and seeks out God, and we seek out God as a church. But final thing, wow, I'm getting you guys out way early, is that is we need to be living sacrifices. We need to be seeking God's will in our lives. And we need to use our talents as a church. Not only here inside these four walls, but outside the four walls. And we need to, you know, come together. And not saying we're not together, but just saying we need to come together. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, for every single one of these members. I thank you, Lord, for us being able to be called friendship and us being able to seek your will of what you want us to do. Because that's most importantly of what is your will, not ours, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for peace and direction, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you just continue me with Pastor and Kelly and as they seek out your will and heal. And I pray, Lord, that you just let us bow at your feet and just surrender everything to you, Lord, so we can be those living sacrifices. I thank you, Lord, for everybody that's doing so much right now, taking extra time out of their schedules, Lord, and taking extra time to fill the gaps. And I pray for us for today and for the rest of the week, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. guys are dismissed.